This is your Day X World War III update, where you come to get the news before it is news. Today I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen next in the Iran versus Israel World War III saga. And recall, back in January, I said this very thing would happen, that we would be on the brink of war with Iran before the election. That was an unequivocal statement. It wasn't me waffling and saying it might happen, it might not. I said that we would absolutely 100% be in a state of full-blown war with the Iranians before the elections. You could see this coming from a mile away. Mind you, that was before all of the unprecedented events happened this year. It was only after October 7th that this all started to become clear what exactly the end game was, and it's a war with Iran. Now, we need to talk about what exactly happened last night, because there's a lot of question marks there. And one thing is for certain at this point in time, Iran absolutely will, if they've not already, go for nuclear weapons. Guys, a lot of people are going to say that, oh yeah, rapprochement time. It's time to get together and hold hands and sing kumbaya. You see, Israel was sending Iran a signal. They wanted to establish deterrence. They wanted to save face, but they also wanted to end this thing, right? They wanted to end this thing. People are so naive. They're eating that up, man. This is just the first inning. This is the first inning of a long ball game, okay? Iran is going for nukes. There is no doubt in my mind about it. They're going for nukes, and we know what that means. We know what that means because as their proxies get beaten down across the front, they'll have no choice but to get nuclear weapons. Now that Israel has crossed this red line, that's it. And the problem is, when you have these countries crossing these red lines, it becomes easier to cross them again. So now that the seal has been broken on Iran firing a salvo, 180 missiles at Israel, most of them making it through. You can optically see there's all kinds of evidence, and Israel putatively doing the same, although we don't really have any evidence to show for it, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. Regardless, they've crossed the red line. The barrier's been breached, and it's going to be much easier to do the same thing now in the future. So we need to talk about what exactly happened, because according to the Israelis, they were attempting to send a message to strike military facilities, air bases, to strike drone manufacturing and missile manufacturing facilities. Yet we don't have any confirmation that any of those hits were actually successful. But right now, they're going around in the media and applauding themselves for taking out Iran's air defense. But again, there is very little proof, with the exception of 4 dead soldiers, which I presume were maybe manning a radar station or something to that effect. But here's what doesn't make sense to me, okay? For starters, you have this 100-strong force of the most advanced fighter craft on Earth hanging back outside the Iranian border, which says something, okay? It says that they respect Iran's capabilities. Iran has the S-300, the S-400, and they have their own homegrown version of the S-300, the Bavar 373, and they have hundreds of these systems, okay? So even if Israel was able to hit two dozen of these launchers and radar stations, it's really just a drop in the bucket in terms of Iran. This is a massive country. It would be like, you know, Ukraine doing it in Russia, but maybe on a slightly smaller scale. And we've seen how long Russia has been able to hold in there with these pinprick attacks. But the problem is, this appears to be a probing operation, a reconnaissance by fire mission for a much bigger attack. First of all, Israel did not have to do this. They weren't in a situation where they looked weak at all in any way. In fact, you know, they basically played down the whole thing, and the Western media, of course, supported them 100% and said, oh yeah, all those missiles that you can see raining down from the sky like a Hollywood meteor movie, that's just, you know, that's just fake. None of that actually hit anything. They were all like, you know, these inept decoys that didn't hit their targets, completely inaccurate, even though they all fell within the footprint of an obvious Israeli airbase. Nonetheless, okay, they continued, and they decided to go through with their vaunted retaliatory strike, yet ostensibly the results were abysmal. Okay, there was nothing to show for this. So this means one of a few things. It means that either the Iranians have a formidable air defense and the Israelis had a plan, and then they had to basically reroute and regroup and basically cancel the plans that they had and fire a few missiles and try to make a few Pyrrhic wins with an attack on a drone manufacturing base and a missile base. Because why on earth would you take out the dozens of missile launchers and radars, as they claim, if only just to target the Iranian missile defense facilities, when there's hundreds of these facilities, underground facilities, okay? And missile defense, missile manufacturing, drone manufacturing, there are hundreds of these facilities. Most of the important ones are under hardened facilities way deep into the country that Israel can't even access at this point in time, because they're not even flying inside Iranian airspace unless they're using their own, like, Jericho missiles, which, of course, they're probably going to save for when they have nuclear weapons on them. So this makes us wonder, then, what was the purpose of this? You're telling me that they took out all the radars and all of the, and this is what they claim, okay, this is the putative claim, you're telling me they did all of that just so that they could hit a drone manufacturing facility, of which Iran has hundreds of these facilities? Give me a break. This clearly was recon by fire. This is the probing operation. This is the first leg. They know that Iran is going to respond. I don't doubt that they did some damage, but this is also a testament to Iran's tight control over not only their airspace, but their synoptical surveillance of their population. Because you would think that the fifth column elements within Iran, who represent the Mossad and the IDF, would have been able to get some picture, some confirmation, some something, some, you know, substantial satellite imagery, even, of these attacks. But there's nothing. Okay, so that means that they either failed and they underestimated Iranian air defense, and this was just a trial run, which I would expect, you know, if they were really going to do a nuclear strike against Iran's underground facilities, which at this point in time just seems like fantasy land. If they can't even, if they're not even willing to leave the U.S. airspace in Iraq by their airbase there, and they're just hovering 100 kilometers outside of Iranian airspace because they're too scared to enter Iranian airspace, you know, the prospect of them, you know, destroying Iran's nuclear program is just pure and utter fantasy, okay? And even the puppet, putting in a puppet regime in Iran is a fantasy as well, when you understand the dynamics of that culture there, okay? So this starts to look like Iran is, in fact, going to respond, because here is what the Iranians say. Everybody's saying, oh yeah, Lloyd Austin saying, now we can call it even. But remember that Iran's firing 200 salvo of missiles at Israel, for them, that was a retaliatory strike, okay? And then Israel turned around and said, okay, now we got to retaliate to your retaliation. So now the Iranians are saying, wait a minute, we should have been even at that. That was it. It's done. But now, if you decide to attack us again, we will attack with an even greater force. And this is now what they're all claiming they're going to do, from the foreign minister to the commander of the military, to propaganda campaigns that have already been rolled out within the population. Here is what they're saying. Why you might be asking yourself, why would they do this? Why would they want to retaliate? What purpose does Iran have in escalating this conflict throughout the region? Well, for starters, if Trump gets in and Trump brings in Pompeo and Lindsey Graham Iran knows that it's, you know, they're going to war anyway, so they might as well throw the first punch. Also, if their proxies are on the back foot, then that means less opportunities, less possibilities for reaching some sort of balance of power within the region that is favorable towards them. So they know that it's now or never. They know that Israel's plan ultimately is to go to war with them. So they have to establish deterrence. If you can even do that with madmen. You can't do that with madmen from the military-industrial complex. There's no such thing as establishing deterrence. You can only hope to keep it under the nuclear level. And what Iran has demonstrated is that they can get a nuke past Israel's air defenses, no problem, several nukes. But Israel claims they can do that with Iran, but we've yet to really see it, okay? And we've yet to see deep strikes into Iran. So Iran has proven that they can get a nuke. Now all they have to do is get the nuke. They've already demonstrated the technology. And it appears as though that's what this is. This is both sides testing the fences, seeing what they can get away with. Now, okay, the Iranians have to contend with the THAAD system that the THAAD systems that the Americans brought in. But really, that just means throwing an extra 100 missiles at the problem to absorb the fire of those. Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi also addressed the issue of the attacks in a post on X, strongly condemning the atrocity as a reckless and cowardly assault and a violation of international law and UN charter. Well, I mean, they attacked a military base, so that's as good as you're going to get from the Israelis, right? We fully reserve our right to respond to this aggression, which cannot be separated from Israel's genocide in Gaza and bloodshed in Lebanon. The world must unite against this common threat to international peace and security, blah, 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 blah. So the foreign minister is saying that they are going to respond. Iranian TV channels are saying that Iran's response to Israel will be decisive. So here we go again with another waiting game, looking at our watches, wondering if and when Iran is going to respond. In the streets of Tehran, there are these large, I think they're posters, if not depictions on screens, saying that another storm is coming. Operation True Promise Part 3. True Promise 1 was when barely any missiles made it through. True Promise 2 was the one that looked like something out of a Hollywood movie where all those missiles rained down over the Dome of the Rock and, you know, it was very iconic images. And True Promise 3, I presume, is going to be even heavier and actually more consequential in terms of the damage that is done. Now, of course, that's what would be required now for the United States to enter into the conflict. But the Iranians are not deterred by this. Based on the pundits that I've listened to, the hardliners who have deep connections with the Ayatollah, they are not at all fazed by threats of U.S. involvement in this conflict. Now, what would that look like? It would look like the attack that we seen last night, only times 10, I presume, and maybe over several days. But of course, that is going to easily, quickly exhaust and deplete whatever sort of limited materiel is currently at the disposal of the allies at this point in time, especially when it's needed in so many places around the world. And the U.S. has to be very careful, because the more they deplete themselves and the more they get ensnared in a quagmire in the Middle East again, the greater the likelihood that China is going to pull the blockade card. And quite frankly, I think that China is just waiting for that opportune moment when the U.S. gets itself pinned down once again in the Middle East. The Chinese will seize on that opportunity and they will blockade Taiwan. It has been confirmed that Israel used Iraqi U.S. airspace. The Israeli aircraft based used the space available to the terrorists. This is from an Iranian source, of course, so hence the terrorist used the military in Iraq located 100 kilometers away from the Iranian border. And understand that if one-tenth of what Israel is saying is true, that they were able to inflict on Iran with this attack, then it response is absolutely coming. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they're talking about, here's some of the rumors, long-range missile capability has been crippled, okay, which is just laughable. Considering there are hundreds of these launchers, missile cities, this is just next-level cope by the IDF Brosint camp, which is mostly just Indian bots on there from India. They pay all these guys on Fiverr or something to make positive comments all day and put the little Israeli emojis in. Nobody is really that dumb, okay? And F-35s flew over Tehran. I mean, this is completely false. And these are top-tier trusted accounts that are promulgating these falsehoods, okay? Iran's missile production is incredibly vast. And I don't speak to this as a fanboy. This is just a fact. They have missile cities embedded under hundreds of meters of solid rock that will not be phased even by the biggest nuke that you could throw at them. So to think that this paltry attempt is in any way a deterrent to Iran, if anything, you know, for a country like that, it might actually unify their population a little bit, even though a lot of them don't like the hardline religious fundamentalist Sharia law aspects of the society. A lot of them like their a little tint of secularism as well. But nonetheless, I think a conflict like that, when you start seeing dead Iranians, and I'm actually surprised by the announcement of the dead Iranians, and they don't say where they're from. So as far as we know, they could be guys who are in Syria. They could be guys who are fighting somewhere else. They could have been with the IRGC. I mean, we just don't know if they're doing that in order to martyr them and martyr in the you know, public sense. It's become such a religious word, but martyr in the sense of to rally people for a cause, right? So, yeah. But this demonstrates Iran's incredibly stringent control on the media, because, again, I must emphasize this. With Israel, because it's a small country, you know, it's very hard. And I think a lot of those videos that we got were actually out from the West Bank. So it was the West Bank who was taking video, and the Gaza Strip who were taking video of these missiles falling on these bases. It's illegal to do so inside Israel. Now, I presume that something similar is the case with Iran, although it might not be as strictly enforced at this point in time, because they're not in a state of full-blown war like they are in Israel. Of course, in Russia now, it's taken a long time. It's taken nearly 3 years for them to start to enforce these things. But if Iran can control the information space so well that we don't get one video of what, you know, Israel is claiming here, then that portends very poorly for Israel if we're talking about their attempts to subvert and undermine the population, because clearly they don't have the capability if that is the case. They can plant a few bombs here and do a few James Bond things here, but that's different from having, you know, penetrated into the underbelly of the population and to really have a lot of sleeper agents in the population. Now, right now, the USA is preparing 6 USAF KC-135R refueling aircraft heading towards a base in Qatar. There was 3 more, in fact, noted, heading towards that same base with fighter jets in tow, all getting ready to assist in the defense of Israel in the off chance of an Iranian response, which we know there is going to be one. Israel thinks there will be a response. And of course, if Israel doesn't get the response they need, they'll do something provocative, because they absolutely need the United States to enter into this conflict. And if you get Trump, and if you get Pompeo, and if you get Lindsey Graham, Netanyahu, that's going to be irresistible. He's going to do something incredibly provocative. Right now, the jury is still out on who's going to win. It's looking like Trump's ahead in the polls, but you can never really trust that. You can never trust that, especially in the age of confirmation bias algorithms. You just simply can't. So anything can happen at this point in time. And then there's also going to be the voter fraud thing, which I'm sure is going to be a hot button issue here in the U.S., which will likely consume most of the news cycle in the weeks ahead. But Israel estimates that Iran will respond to the IDF assault. Impossible for the regime to do nothing after the attack in Tehran. With everyone in the region watching, Israel is ready for more military action. This is from a pro-Israeli account. Excuse me. Israeli officials note the circumstances will be different next time. The U.S. election will be over and the IDF will be closer to achieving Lebanon war objectives. I highly doubt that. If it took them a year to eradicate Hamas, who is still a threat, then to think that the situation in Lebanon is going to resolve itself, especially when you're antagonizing the Iranians, is just wishful thinking. So they know that's going to happen, but they definitely do want a war. Now, already we're getting rumors that the Ayatollah is ill. You remember when they said Putin is shaking and he's got Parkinson's disease and, you know, and they even said something about Xi Jinping. Is Xi Jinping dead? And all these rumors. Well, we're already there. And that's how you know whatever the Israelis tried to do last night failed miserably, because the next day they're just putting out all of this fake news about how the Ayatollah is ill and he's going to be succeeded by his son. Mojtaba Kamani has been groomed to inherit the Iran supreme leader position. It's going to be interesting to see what his position is on things. But the Iranian military is posturing like they're getting ready for war. Here is something that the Iranian military has said on their X account. Return the stone to the exact spot where the enemy threw it, for wickedness can only be met with wickedness. That's a quote by some imam that they're quoting, okay? Now, here's the thing that the Iranians are saying. If whatever the Israelis were actually planning, because you know they were planning this for a long time, if it had actually succeeded, then it would have been devastating, okay? And it would not have been one of these face-saving, de-escalatory, retaliatory strikes that gave Iran an off-ramp. That's what they're saying. If it were not for the strength of our defense systems, there would have been a catastrophic impact on Iran. Israel has crossed a new red line with this attack, and it needs to be held accountable for what it did. They directly attacked our soil for the first time and killed four of our soldiers. They must face consequences for their actions. Otherwise, attacks on Iran will occur again in the future. And rumor is North Korea is sending another 10,000 troops to Russia. Talk about mission creep. My friends, we are almost at the finish line. I can't wait till this election's over. I just want to, you know, because so much is going to, if you think so much happened between up to the election, between that day and the inauguration day, it's going to be so much worse. So we just got to knuckle down, keep grinding, get ready for the long winter that awaits. If you want to support the channel, gear up at CanadianPreparedness.com. Use coupon code WW3Survival for 13% off store-wide. All right. Now, we're going to be releasing a couple videos in the next couple days that are more like blue strip videos. But I would encourage you to check them out because this is important stuff. There's so many people getting scammed right now in the preparedness industry, and this is the biggest scam there is out there. And every few years I gotta make a video about it, and this time I let it rip, man. So you're not gonna want to miss this one. We will see you guys in that video tomorrow. Take care.